Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to multifamily industry operations. I'm your host, Paul Marks, coming to you from the Smart Apartment Data Studio, and we have a great show with a wonderful guest who is extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing the Great Awakening, what's really driving multifamily employee turnover. Joining me in the studio is a longtime multifamily veteran, a fantastic industry educator, and a national speaker, the great Bill Nye, who is the owner of Bill Nye Training and Consulting. Welcome, Bill.
Thank you, Paul. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so when you said you wanted to talk about this topic, I found it very interesting because, you know, we've heard for the last year or so about the Great Resignation. We've heard about now this quiet quitting and so forth. And obviously, prior to the pandemic, there was high turnover in certain positions in multifamily. And then since the pandemic, that turnover has increased pretty much across the board in all positions. And I know you've got a feeling as to why that might be. Why don't you kind of let our listeners know what you're seeing out there?
Yeah, I do. So what's really interesting about this, and you're right, you know, for years, owner-operators have struggled with keeping their maintenance teams fully employed, but this is very different. This is regional managers. This is executives. These, you know, people who would typically be long-tenured employees are now leaving those positions. And, you know, to call it the Great Resignation, that's true, but I think it's actually turning a blind eye to what's really happening. Here's what I mean by that. So, you know, if my father were still living today, he would be 86 years old. And, you know, so that means that as a kid growing up, you know, my dad, this was the 60s and 70s. And so, you know, I never knew whether or not my dad was happy at work. I never knew how my dad felt about his job. He never ever used the word culture. In fact, when I heard the word culture, to me, that was some, you know, almost in the far distant term that meant, you know, some, you know, group of people who lived on some remote island somewhere. You know, it was an exotic term. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there was no focus on whether or not, you know, the employees were happy at work, whether they were engaged, whether they felt respected, trusted, empowered, or appreciated. But then something switched. And that something is the invention of social media. And then all of a sudden, everything that's happening in every moment of our days is now being captured on camera. And we all see the videos, you know, you can't do anything without, because everybody has a camera in their pocket.
Right.
You know, and I was had a conversation with somebody a few years back, and she said to me, why don't you have more pictures of the things that you did when you were in the Air Force? Because I served in the Air Force back in the 80s. And I said, well, where would I get those pictures? And she said, your phone. And I laughed and I said, phone? A phone was plugged into a wall or it was in a booth on a street and you had to put quarters into it. And, you know, she was totally oblivious to the fact that, you know, we didn't have cell phones, which meant we didn't have cameras on us all the time. And now that's changed. And so what's happening is that everybody's posting. And, you know, some of this is, you know, the Instagram celebrities. You know, people are now millionaires with no talent. Meaning that, you know, they've never invented anything. They've not done anything that's really life-changing. And this isn't a criticism, but, you know, the Kardashians are a perfect example of that.
Right.
You know, they're not singers. They're not actors or actresses. They're not inventors, but they're millionaires. And they're millionaires because of social media. And so what that has done is it's caused this social media craze. But what that's done is it has now brought to light every aspect that happens in our days. And so what's happening, Paul, is our employees are watching that. And so companies feel compelled to utilize social media to promote the company. And that's a good thing. It's a really good thing. And so we're using all of the different social media platforms to talk about the awards we win, the events that we attend, you know, the charitable causes that we're involved in, and all of this. But what has happened now is employees are watching this. and they're using it as a measuring stick. It's a new tape measure, if you will. And so what I'm doing is, if I'm working for company A and I'm watching my own company's posts and how they, you know, what they offer, how they talk about us, you know, the things that are important within the company, and then I'm measuring that against what I see from other companies. And so what matters to people today, so going back to my father and his experience, you know, back in the 60s and 70s, my dad was happy to have a job and happy to get paid every Friday.
Right.
And, you know, that's not what people are looking for today. Now they want to feel like they're involved in something that's changing the world, whether it's, you know, through social justice, whether it's through, you know, environmental causes, whatever the case might be, people want to feel like they're working somewhere that's doing good, whatever that good is. And, you know, nobody should blame anyone for making money. That's how we survive. That's the way our economy works. But you got to be careful in how you promote that. So, for instance, years ago, I worked for a guy. I was the CEO of this company, and this was many years ago. And I ran that company for 8 years. And I personally knew everything that the owner possessed. I knew about his he loved off-sea, you know, offshore deep-sea fishing. And he had a fishing boat that was the envy of everybody. I mean, it was impressive. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it could sleep several people, had a really impressive galley for cooking. And, I mean, it had all of the technology for finding fish. Mm-hmm. And he used to enter into these big, it's called the Blue Rock Tournament off the shore of North Carolina. And the winner won $1 million.
Oh.
And he won it twice.
Oh, my gosh.
And so, you know, he had that kind of boat. He also had a private plane. He had a beautiful home on a private lake near our office. And he had a beautiful home just off the coast of North Carolina. I knew all that, but nobody else knew that. Mm-hmm. And there's, you know, listen, there's nothing wrong with him having those things. But to the average employee, all they knew was he's a guy in jeans and work boots and a t-shirt and drove a Chevy pickup truck. Mm-hmm. And that's what they saw. And so, you know, today we got to be really careful with our messaging, because people are watching that and they're asking, you know, why am I doing what I'm doing? You know, my dad knew why he was doing what he was doing, mm-hmm. and that was to pay the mortgage and to put food on the table. But today, people are looking for something different than that. They're looking for, you know, like I said, some, you know, greater cause, if you will. And so we're measuring what my company is saying, and not only that, but also what we're offering. Where my dad didn't know what anybody else was offering. He didn't know if, you know, he worked in construction. He didn't know if the construction company 5 miles down the road offered $1 an hour more or offered any type of retirement plan or anything of that nature. He didn't know because there was no social media. But today we do. Today we know. We know what the true culture of the companies are, or at least the perceived culture, mm-hmm. because, you know, sometimes it's smoke and mirrors.
Sure.
You know, sometimes, you know, companies will promote that we are a certain way. And then you get on the inside, and that's not the reality. And, you know, that can happen anywhere to anyone. But, you know, today we know, you know, who's offering flexible working hours, who's offering paid maternity leave, you know, who's offering some of these new programs that weren't there even 5 years ago.
Right.
But we know because social media is now our outlet for bragging. It's how we promote. It's how we tell everybody we're a great place to work, you know, or we're not a great place to work. And so, you know, it's not, you know, it is the great resignation, but it's the great awakening where people are now awake. They're now paying attention to the culture where they work, and they're paying attention to the culture where they don't work. So, you know, as I said earlier, there's now a measuring stick, and we can compare what I experience versus comparing to what I think other people are experiencing who are my competitors.
Yeah, you know, and that is so true. And obviously the network that or the social media platform that most people work with within business is LinkedIn. And it seems to me that it's ramped up quite a bit, probably in the last 2 years, to where companies are really promoting when a new employee arrives and what they do, you know, what their onboarding is, and showing photographs of all the swag they get when they show up, And that seems relatively new, mm-hmm. even though the social media has been around for a while.
That's right.
It seems like there's been a big influx. Have you seen the same thing?
Yeah, that's exactly the types of things I'm talking about. We're now posting when someone earns a designation. We're posting when they get a promotion. We're posting new hires. We're posting our onboarding. We're posting all these things, and everybody's watching it, and they're comparing it to their own experience.
Yeah. All right, well, we're going to break it here. We're going to be back with more on this great topic right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress. Stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let REV be your long-term leasing solution. Go to revlmc.com to find out more. That's revlmc.com. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire REV today. In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio, and we're discussing the topic of the Great Awakening. What's really driving high multifamily employee turnover. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me in the studio is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, a wonderful industry educator, and a national speaker, Bill Nye, who is the owner of Bill Nye Training and Consulting. I do want to remind our listeners, if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, Bill, in the first segment, we talked about kind of where everything is with and how social media has affected the way people are looking at their jobs and comparing themselves and their jobs and their positions to other companies, which is a new phenomenon from the invention of social media. And you mentioned that your father never even used the word culture, mm-hmm. but that plays a lot into it, doesn't it?
It does. It does. And so, you know, one of the things, and I'm going to introduce to the audience, I'm going to introduce a term that maybe they've never heard before. This is a term that I use, and I don't know that anybody else has ever talked about this, but I think it's important, and it's what I call culture currency. And, of course, we all understand what currency is. You know, in the United States, you know, it's the American dollar, the U.S. dollar. And so currency has value, right? And so we use currency as a bartering system. We exchange things for currency. Well, within every culture, it has its own unique currency. Here's what I mean by that. I'm one of six kids. And so, you know, we grew up on a farm in Ohio. And, you know, three boys, three girls. We used to joke that we were like the old TV show, The Brady Bunch. I would have been Peter in the mix. I was the middle boy. So I had an older brother, younger brother, two older sisters, and a younger sister. And so,
you know, growing up in a family of six kids on a farm and, you know, vast land, so it was very easy for us to disappear, to get lost, mm-hmm. but there was always work to do. You know, there were cows to milk, there were you know, livestock to feed, you know, we had to work the fields. So we were a produce farm, and so we were the largest strawberry producers in the state of Ohio,
wow.
which meant that there was always work that had to be done. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you're a 13-year-old kid. That's not your idea of fun, right?
Right.
And so if you could find a way to disappear, you found it.
Mm-hmm.
And so my mother was a very stern, you know, heavy-handed type of mother. And, you know, discipline was you know, paramount in my mother's eyes. And so my mother, it was impossible for her to watch everything that we were doing at all times. And I had a couple of siblings who weren't very good students. And as a result, they weren't very good at school in any aspect. They didn't want to be there. And so, of course, you had to go to school. But anyone who's like that, when you go to school, you're not really following the rules. You know, they were constantly causing trouble. And so the currency, because the culture in our home was a culture of fear. We were all afraid of mom. We all understood the one thing you didn't want to do was make mom angry. Making mom angry was bad. And so we learned that the currency within our culture was information. Anyone who had information on a sibling and would share that information with our mother found favor with our mother.
Mm-hmm.
And that was always a benefit to have that favor with mom, because then she wasn't angry with you. It wasn't my problem if she was angry with somebody else. And so we began to understand that we could, even as kids, and I didn't understand at the time that what that was is that was the currency within our culture. You know, those were the, you know, the buffalo pelts to the Native Americans, if you will. And so, you know, but I did understand that it had value. And so, you know, you would exchange that information for that favor, and then that allowed you to function in a at least survive, if you will, in that culture. And so what happens within any culture is that there's currency like that. And what is the thing that will then bring favor? What is the thing that will either help you to thrive or survive within that culture? And so, you know, years later, my mother lamented on the phone with me one day that she wished that her children were closer as adults. And I simply said to her, you know, Mom, you rewarded us for turning on one another as children. And that set the table for us to be suspicious of one another as adults. And I love my siblings. Mm-hmm. I've lost one of my sisters since, but I love my siblings. And, you know, over the last few years, I think we've kind of reconciled through some of that, like, you know, but what we have to understand is that whatever that currency is, there's going to either be a benefit or there's going to be a detriment.
Mm-hmm.
And so, for instance, taking this back to the workplace, if the boss loves gossip and you have juicy information on coworkers, then you have favor with the boss.
Mm-hmm.
And you will thrive or survive within that culture. But for those who find that type of culture to be unhealthy, they want out. And so what they're doing is they're comparing, going back to the first segment, they're looking at other cultures, and if they see a supportive culture, they see that as a better fit for them, and they want to figure out a way to get hired by that company, regardless of their position. Again, whether they're a middle management, upper management, executive level, they're looking at those things and saying, that's a better fit for me because, you know, as you mentioned, we're putting that out there on LinkedIn on a daily basis. And so, you know, if you're a culture that really wants to control people, there are people who understand that by, you know, through compliance, that becomes the currency. But if you're a healthy culture where, you know, for instance, I talked about my, you know, to someone recently, my wife works for a really, really great company. A company that wins a lot of awards. They're recognized on a national level for, you know, one of the best places to work. They're recognized on a national level as a place that really cares for their residents. It's a multifamily company. And the currency within her company is problem solving and innovation. Now, that's good currency.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody who wants, and by the way, those things aren't reserved for the executives. See, in a lot of companies, it is. Only the executives can solve the problems and bring new ideas to the table. But within this company, anybody can do it. And so people who love to engage in problem solving, love to bring new ideas and be heard, that's where they want to work because they see that currency. They may not know that that's what it's called, but mm-hmm. they see that. They see that there's a premium placed upon problem solving and innovation. And so people who are stifled, who have, they want to get their hands dirty. They want to solve problems. They have all these ideas, but nobody will listen to them. They go to LinkedIn, they go to social media, and they see this other company praising a community manager, praising a maintenance supervisor for their innovative ideas, for their problem-solving skills. And I'm stuck in a culture that says, no, that's reserved for only the elite within our company. Those people are now, they're awake to that difference. They may not understand that this is the currency. They may not understand that term, but that's what it is. And so they see that and they say, hey, I don't belong here. I yearn for that. I want to be a part of that. You know, and so that's the negative side. Going back to, my story about my mother, the negative side was years later, we didn't trust one another, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you got to understand that whatever your currency is, it's either going to be viewed by people as having tremendous value, or it's going to be viewed as, by people as something that's going to actually be a drag on their life, toxic. We use the right. word toxic a lot. And so people are truly looking at this and they're measuring this and they're saying, I wish I worked for someplace that valued what I bring to the table. I don't want to be around the gossip. I don't want to be controlled. I don't want to. And they're constantly scrolling through their social media outlets, regardless of what the platform is, looking for companies that are promoting what they believe is a healthier culture, or in this term, a currency that is better suited for their own particular values and integrity and ethics. And if they can get in with that company, they're gone. And here's an interesting thing. I had a conversation with someone from Swift Bunny. Not mm-hmm. sure if your audience sure. is familiar with Swift Bunny, but I asked the question. It's Jen Picotta. And I asked Jen the question, is the two-week notice a thing of the past? And she said it is. Mm. That's how desperate people are to get out of the culture and get away from the currency that they see as toxic and get onto something that they see as better.
Yeah. And when you were explaining the culture and the currency of culture, this awakening that we're discussing, it could be a subconscious thing, couldn't it? I mean, in other words, a person doesn't need to be actively looking.
That's right.
They're going through social media, and this company continually imprints on their mind. And when they get to the point of where they're ready to make a change, they've already subconsciously figured out that that's the company they may want to talk to.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It elicits a feeling. Mm-hmm. You may not consciously be able to put your finger on it and say, this is what's wrong, or this is what I don't like. But looking at what other people are posting, it elicits a feeling. It elicits an emotion.
Right. All right, well, we are going to break it here. We're going to be back with our next segment of Multifamily Matters right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Looking for a solution to balance your assets? Tired of wasted time managing your day-to-day bookkeeping, buggy software implementations, inaccurate financials? Or maybe you're worried about a pending audit. Would you like more time to focus on revenue-generating activities versus accounting administrative activities? Here at Balanced Asset Solutions, we are a CPA firm that specializes in property management platforms, including Yardi and AppFolio. You can reach Balanced Asset Solutions now at 619-415-6826. Go visit our website at www.balancedassetsolutions.com. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. EConserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call eConserve today at 713-662-3220 for a free analysis of your property. That's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Control by Net provides communities with video surveillance solutions accessible 24/7 from any web browser or mobile device. Our remote guarding reduces crime in garages and mailrooms. Many top owners and managers already utilize our services and love the single sign-on feature to see all properties. As NAA and NMHC members, Control by Net only serves multifamily. Our cloud and managed video solution is consistently voted easiest to use. We meet any compliance requirements. Visit us at www.controlbynet.com or email us for a free site survey at crproperty@controlbynet.com.
We're back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing the topic of the Great Awakening, what's really driving hot multifamily turnover. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me in the studio is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, a terrific industry educator and national speaker, Bill Nye, who is the owner of Bill Nye Training and Consulting. Before we jump back in the conversation, I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Rev, the leasing management company. Rev is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Control by Net, providing multifamily video surveillance and remote guarding, solving your security needs. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. Balanced Asset Solutions. Don't delay, call Balanced Asset Solutions today. Smart Apartment Data, the most comprehensive and up-to-date intelligence on the multifamily industry. And CTS, Complete Technology Solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So, Bill, in the last segment, we talked a lot about the currency of culture. And it's very true. And the examples you gave about you growing up and how that affected you personally, you can easily see how those types of things would transfer into someone's business life. But culture can have several different ways of looking at it. Why don't you talk a little about the word culture?
Yeah, everybody's talking about culture these days. There are books being written about it. And it's interesting, when I talk to people about culture, there's I think there's a great illusion as to what culture really is. And I think it's important to understand that culture exists in every organization. And I've often used the example of, if you were to go out into your backyard with a shovel and dig up a 3-foot by 3-foot square, get rid of the grass, and just work the soil a little bit and then leave, something's going to happen with that spot. Mm-hmm. You're not going to come back a year later and it's just going to be a 3-foot by 3-foot square of dirt. Stuff's going to grow there. And that's culture. But what grew there, it's not going to be strawberries. It's not going to be tomatoes. It's mm-hmm. not going to be sweet corn, right? Mm-hmm. It's going to be weeds. But something will grow, but it's never what you want. And so, it's important to understand, one, culture is the most important thing in any organization. It trumps everything. Every decision that you make is driven by the culture of the company. And so, to really pay attention to that is paramount. It's the most critical thing any business executive, business owner can do, is to pay attention to their culture, because it drives everything. Your results are a byproduct of your culture. Your profitability is a byproduct of your culture. Your employee engagement, your employee longevity is a byproduct of your culture. So you have to be intentional about it. But when I talk to people about culture, they have all these different ideas of what culture really is. And, I was talking to someone once who said, winning is a culture. Well, that's not a culture. Winning is a byproduct of your culture. But by the way, winning doesn't necessarily mean that it's a healthy culture. You can cheat and win, right? And so, I think it's important that people understand exactly what culture is. So culture is three things. Number one, it's what you expect. Your expectations really define your culture. Number two, it's what you won't tolerate. And you know, that has to be clearly understood. That's what makes people fit or not fit within your organization, is, you know, what you expect and what you won't tolerate. But then number three, and this is really important, and this is a piece of the pie that I don't think a lot of people give any a thought or attention to, and that is how you treat one another. And so, you know, when people understand that that's what culture really is, it's what you expect, it's what you won't tolerate, and it's how you treat one another, now how do you clearly define those three things, not only internally, but also externally? Mm-hmm. You know, because as I mentioned, sometimes it's smoke and mirrors. Sometimes, you know, it appears to look good. Example, I was in a meeting years ago in Washington, D.C., and a gentleman was introduced to the audience, and I had just left the company that I had been running for 8 years, and I'm sitting in the audience, and this guy, I never heard of him, had no idea who he was, but he got up and he said to the audience, we're in the people business. We just happen to own real estate. And man, my ears perked up. Mm-hmm. I said, whoa, I like that, because I believe that the way to have long-term sustainable success is by having great people who are really engaged, love coming to work every day. I often say, don't hire people who are motivated. I think motivation is something that you know, we're all personally responsible for. Hire people who are inspired and looking for inspiration. And then create a culture where those people, self-motivated people, become inspired, and the result is passion. And so when this guy started talking about, you know, we're in the people business, we just happen to own real estate, I thought, okay, here's somebody who sees the world the way I see it. And it, as he continued to talk, I thought, wow, I'm not used to hearing an executive or an owner of a management company talk like this. And, you know, I learned later that that was a great message, but that wasn't the reality. You know, the reality was, you know, what's in this for me?
Right.
And so the message was one. And that's one of the things we have to understand, Paul, is that because of social media and the way people are using and viewing social media, the message has to be real and genuine. Mm-hmm. You know, because people learn very quickly that, hey, you say 2 + 2 = 4, but it really does it in your world. And so you got to be really genuine and honest about it. And so going back to what I said, that culture is what you expect, you know, and this is where, you know, these three things drive your budgets. Your budgets are really a byproduct of what you expect, what you won't tolerate, and how you treat one another, right? Because if you're writing budgets where there's no opportunity for growth, there are no pay increases, there are no bonuses, you know, all that's reflected in your budget. That's a byproduct of your culture. Mm-hmm. And your policies and procedures, your marketing, every aspect of what your company does fits into one of those three categories: what you expect, what you won't tolerate, and how you treat one another. And when people understand those three things and become intentional about it, now you got to start crafting your public messaging around those three things. You know, and we see a lot of companies doing a good job with this. You know, you, again, in the first segment, you mentioned, you know, onboarding, mm-hmm. and you know, training and promotions and these types of things. Those are all a byproduct of their culture. And what they're saying is, we understand that, you know, we got to be clear about our expectations. Listen, you know, a healthy culture has high expectations. A healthy culture is very clear about what they won't tolerate. You know, and that's where your core values come into play. You know, one of the things I often talk about is, you know, a lot of companies, most companies have their core values. And I've always said, I don't want to see your core values hanging on somebody's wall. I don't want to see them framed and matted and hanging on the boss's wall. I want to see the core values in your people. Mm-hmm. I want to see your core values in how people act, how they behave, how they treat vendors, like, you know, the sponsors that you mentioned, when they're on site working with the on-site staff, what's that experience like? And so, but, you know, a lot of companies have core values, but I don't think they carry it far enough. I think there's another component that's missing, and I call those critical behaviors. And companies aren't really focusing on what are the critical behaviors that will make somebody a good fit for our company, and not only a good fit, but a long-term fit, because I think that's important. You know, the turnover game is extremely costly and expensive, and sometimes it's hard to recover, especially when you lose, you know, key people. And when we start talking about losing, you know, regional managers, regional vice presidents, you know, directors of operations, COOs, because they don't see themselves as a culture fit, you know, that's the, you know, that boat, that, you know, that's a Titanic. Mm-hmm. It's hit an iceberg and it's taken in water, and a lot of people are going down. And so that's why I think it's important that you're intentional about your culture. When you dig up that piece of ground, don't just ignore it. Now go out there and work it and plant it. But to get the best yield, you have to work it. You have to water it. You have to go out there with the tools and work up the ground. You know, use a garden hoe and you know, keep the soil moving and allow the roots to breathe. You know, growing up on a farm, you didn't get a great strawberry yield because we ignored it. We got a great yield because we worked it every single day. That's culture. You can't just say, this is what we're going to do, and then they think good things will grow. You got to say, this is what we're going to do, and now you have to be intentional about everything you put in place to get a good yield at the end of the year.
Well, we're going to break it here, but in the next segment, I hopefully we can you can share with our listeners some of the things that they need to do to get those good yields with their own company culture. We're going to be back at it with our final segment of this episode right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
SMART is a national multifamily research and analytics company providing market, property, and floor plan level data to track performance, evaluate competitive strategies, and identify potential investment opportunities. Their innovative web-based software and mobile application contains extensive searchable inventory of granular historical data, floor plan by floor plan rents, concessions, and availabilities for enhanced analysis and forecasting. For more information or to sign up for a free trial, go to smartapartmentdata.com.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Looking for a solution to balance your assets? Tired of wasted time managing your day-to-day bookkeeping, buggy software implementations, inaccurate financials, or maybe you're worried about a pending audit? Would you like more time to focus on revenue-generating activities versus accounting administrative activities? Here at Balanced Asset Solutions, we are a CPA firm that specializes in property management platforms, including Yardi and Appfolio. You can reach Balanced Asset Solutions now at 619-415-6826. Go visit our website at www.balancedassetsolutions.com. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today.
Well, we are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio, and we're discussing the topic of the Great Awakening, what's really driving high multifamily employee turnover. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me in the studio is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, an outstanding industry educator and national speaker, the great Bill Nye, who is also the owner of Bill Nye Training and Consulting. Bill, before the break, you were giving the analogy of the little plot of land and how you have to work it to get the kind of yield that you want to get. Share with our audience a little bit about what you think they can do within their companies to be able to create that culture currency that's going to yield the positive results that you're talking about.
Yeah. Thank you, Paul. So, you know, one of the things I've observed over the years is the natural inclination to change course when something doesn't go right. And, you know, I think you would, I hope that you agree with me on this, that you and I could get in your vehicle or mine and we could go to any apartment community, you know, in this area, regardless of who owns, manages that apartment community, regardless of how old or new it is, regardless of how long the staff has been there, we could go to any apartment community and within a short period of time, we could find something wrong.
Sure.
Because it's a massive undertaking.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, my point is there's always going to be something wrong. That doesn't mean that you accept that. It doesn't mean that you don't try to get better. You try to, you know, overcome those deficiencies. But what I think has to happen, and this is where people's culture becomes a culture of chaos, is that the minute something goes wrong, you want to just scrap everything and you panic, if you will. You want to grab for something. And oftentimes that you know, natural inclination is to grab for control. So, you know, example, my wife was in a car accident years ago, bad accident, was thrown through the windshield of a vehicle. So, you know, just a terrible accident. I wasn't involved in that. It's before I knew her. So before anybody thinks I'm a reckless driver, I was not involved. But to this day, she gets really nervous when, for instance, if we're going down a freeway and a semi comes along on the ramp and gets next to us, she immediately grabs the you know, the handle on the door or the handle above the door.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and many of us have been on flights before when, you know, all of a sudden there's some turbulence.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when that turbulence hits a plane, what do? Well, a lot of people grab the armrest, right?
Sure.
Well, I have some news for you. You grab that armrest, that's not going to change what's about to happen. And this is an awful analogy, and I understand that. But if that plane goes down, that armrest isn't going to save you.
Right.
Okay? Although it may make you feel better in a moment to grab that, you're grasping for an answer, but it's not really the answer, right?
Right.
You're just panicking. And so, you know, the first thing I would say to anyone who's in a leadership position, whether you're a community manager, a regional manager, a business executive, don't panic. You know, be true to who you are. Be true to your culture. Have your plan in place. And it doesn't mean you don't make adjustments, but, you know, I see this all the time where something goes wrong. You have a bad month. You have a bad week. You don't have the traffic you want. You don't have the leasing activity that you want. You know, you walked an apartment that was marked as ready and it's not ready. A resident calls the corporate office and they're unhappy about something. And immediately people want to do what I call escalate. And so one of the things I think is really important is to understand the difference between elevating and escalating. And I've always tried to tell the people who worked for me, you know, to elevate. To elevate means to seek a solution. To escalate means to make it big. And so, you know, that happens a lot, you know, where, you know, somebody does a site visit and they see a cobweb in the corner, you know, in front of the leasing office. And all of a sudden, a text or an email goes out to the regional manager, you know, that, you know, somebody from corporate is at the property and they saw a cobweb or a spider web. And all of a sudden, 8 people are now involved in that cobweb or that spider web. Mm. Right?
Right.
Well, is that really smart? Is that really good use of their time? No, of course not. Well, what happened? They escalated it instead of elevating it. To elevate it would be to simply say to someone from the staff, hey, there's a cobweb in front of the door. Can someone knock that down? Take a broom out there and sweep that off. Of course. Boom. Done. You don't have 7 people dropping what they're doing, suddenly driving out to the property, you know, to take care of that cobweb or spider web. But we've all seen that. And I know there are people who are listening right now and said, oh my gosh, you just described my reality.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what are those people doing when they go home tonight? What are they doing? They're surfing social media to look for a culture where that doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And over something that, and so, you know, that's why I said, one of the things that we have to do is we have to build consistency. Have your plan. Okay, we're going to work this piece of land. We're going to dig up this 3-foot by 3-foot square in the backyard. Now, what are we going to do with it? You know, how are we going to treat the soil? What are we going to plant? How are we going to make sure that it doesn't get too much sunlight? How are we going to make sure it gets enough water? So you have to have all those steps in place. And then just be consistent in doing that. And just because something happens that you didn't plan doesn't mean that you suddenly panic and now everybody's grabbing for the armrest. And that doesn't actually change or fix anything. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to understand the impact that, that elevating versus escalating actually has on your culture. And the stress that it has on people when you escalate versus elevating. Because elevating teaches people. Elevating empowers people. You know, elevating gets, you know, think about the term elevator. Mm-hmm. Well, what does an elevator do? It takes you up, right? Right. I understand it can also take you down.
Right.
It does work both ways, but it's productive.
Right.
Either way, it gets you to where you want to go. Maybe that's a better analogy. Mm-hmm. You know, an elevator gets you to where you want to go. But when we escalate, that's the panic. That's the, you know, all hands on deck because we had a spider web in front of the door of this, you know, 6-month-old apartment community. Again, this spider web shouldn't be there and somebody should have noticed it. But let's not get 10 people suddenly dropping everything they're doing because, you know, a lender from New York visited the property and said there's a spider web in front of the door.
Right.
And I know some are saying, well, that's a silly analogy. Listen, for a lot of people out there working in the multifamily world on site, that's not a silly analogy. That's their reality.
Right.
These things really happen. I could sit here and I could tell you stories of, in fact, I'll share one very quickly. I was in charge of a management company based in Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina. And I was visiting one of our properties. I was the president of the company. And I'm visiting one of our properties, and anytime I visit a property, before I go in and meet with the staff, I always do a drive-through. I just drive around the property. And the trash had been dumped, and there was a couple of trash bags that somehow broke open, weren't inside the dumpster. Now they're open, and there were a bunch of crows, you know, picking through this trash. And so I pulled up to the office, and I walked in, and I said to the manager, "Hey, do you have a trash bag?" And she said, "Yeah." I said, "Could I get one, please?" Now, remember, I'm in a suit. I'm the president of the company. She hands me a trash bag. I always keep disposable gloves in my vehicle. I drove back to that dumpster, and I started picking up the trash. Now, I'm not sharing the story to boast,
right,
but I started picking up the trash, and about 3-4 minutes later, here comes the manager on the golf cart because, you know, I'm quite a ways from the leasing office, and she said, "Son of a gun, I knew it. I knew you." What? I said, "Where did he go?" "I bet he found some trash and he's picking up the trash." She said, "Why are you doing this?" And I simply said to her, "Because this is my trash." She said, "How is this your trash?" I said, "Any trash on this property is my trash. Just as it's your trash, it's our trash, which means it's our job to pick it up." What did I do in that moment? I elevated. What I did was I created an environment where she understood that things are going to be seen that shouldn't exist, and it happens. Let's not blow up. Let's not panic. Let's not overreact. Let's just fix it rather than escalate it. Because I could have gone in, I could have gone off, and I could have made a big deal about it. Listen, it wasn't anybody's fault. You know, it happens.
Sure.
This is the world that we live in. And so I think that's one of the things that we need to understand with our culture is have your plan and work your plan. Don't panic just because something goes wrong one time. And I hope that makes sense, and I hope that helps.
Yep. So we've got about 3 minutes left. Take 30 seconds and give our listeners maybe your top 3 tips on how to create the best company culture. And then I want to transition to something else.
Okay. So I think number one is identifying exactly what you want that culture to be. Every culture fits into one of two categories, culture of freedom or a culture of control. And one of them isn't right and one of them is wrong. But I think it's understanding our mission, our current employee base, are we going to be able to deliver the best results by being a culture of freedom or a culture of control? So I think it's one, it starts with understanding that. And then two, it's understanding what components need to be in place. So for instance, if we decide we want to be a culture of control where, you know, McDonald's is a culture of control, but very successful. If you're going to be that, then you have to have a proven set of processes, policies and procedures in place. If you don't have those, you can't be a successful culture of control because you're going to have chaos. Nobody's going to actually know what to do. They're all going to wait around sit around waiting to be told what to do. So understanding which one works best for you and then understanding what do we need to have in place to make this culture successful. And then I think the third thing is really identifying what kind of people really thrive in this culture. And how do we find them and how do we keep them?
All right, fantastic. We've got about a minute and a half left. And Bill, I want you to tell our listeners. I mean, I got to say that I don't remember the exact year, but it was 8 or 9 years ago that I first met you and took a class that you were giving and was so impressed with your knowledge base and the way you related. You are now doing this training and consulting on a full-time basis. Tell our listeners a little bit about what you're doing, where they can find you, and how they can reach you.
Yeah, thank you. So I just launched a brand new website. It's called Bill Nye, my name, just like that other guy, Bill Nye, apartmentguy.com. And so I provide training on leadership, on culture, some leasing training, some maintenance training, because I have a background in those things, having worked in operations for many years. But then I also provide consulting services, whether it's somebody just wants me to just look over some of your KPIs and see, if anything's out of whack, whether it's you're looking for site visits, whether you want me to mentor members of your team. There's a wide variety of consulting services that I offer as well. I started doing that 25 years ago. Mm-hmm. And for the last 15 years, I've worked as an executive in the multifamily business. And I think that's given me a rare perspective. I don't think there are a lot of trainers and consultants out there who have, for the last 15 years, worked at the executive level. So, right. I hope that experience is beneficial to my clients.
What's the best way for them to reach you?
Through my website. Okay. So it's www.BillNyeApartmentGuy.com.
Fantastic. Well, Bill, thank you so much. We definitely want to have you back and continuing this conversation and others. But we're going to be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.